Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, December 9th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the White House jumps back into negotiations on a stimulus deal.
Joe Biden promises a big vaccine push when he takes office.
Boris Johnson heads to Brussels for key Brexit talks.
And it's a big day for IPOs as Airbnb and DoorDash take center stage.
Mayor de Blasio says New York City will get the COVID vaccine next week. Plus, Newark Railroad Station is on track to get a $190 million makeover. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Ravens beat the Cowboys. College basketball wins for St. John's, Rutgers, and Seton Hall.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are mixed to start the day. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 86, NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 0.94%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 13 cents at $45.72 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $12.40 at $18.62.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2123 against the dollar. The yen is at 104.09. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with new developments on a possible stimulus deal. The White House is getting back into negotiations. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
And Nathan, Stephen Mnuchin is making a surprise re-entry into talks. It opens a potential new path to a deal by year's end. The Treasury Secretary pitched a $916 billion plan to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi late yesterday. The offer is a joint proposal supported by the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I think it's a view shared by literally everybody on both sides of the aisle that we can't leave without doing a COVID bill. The country needs it.
Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer call it progress. The proposal includes $600 stimulus payments to individuals, which could win support from both Republicans and Democrats. But it pays for that in part through cutting a bipartisan proposal for $300 a week in supplemental unemployment aid. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. When it comes to fighting the pandemic, the U.S. could approve Pfizer's vaccine as soon as this week.
We're very hopeful that the FDA will authorize the Pfizer vaccine within days. We've got to get it moving. And Moderna vaccine almost immediately thereafter.
President Trump said he may use executive powers to acquire enough doses of both shots. At the same time, though, the Army general leading the vaccine rollout warns it may take longer. Gustav Perna said he expects shots to be administered within 4 days of FDA authorization.
Well, meantime, President-elect Joe Biden is promising a big vaccine push when he enters office.
At least 100 million COVID vaccine shots into the arms of the American people in the first 100 days. 100 million shots in the first 100 days.
Biden says getting vaccines to all Americans will be a costly challenge. He's calling on Congress to designate money for distribution efforts.
Pfizer is first in line. Moderna appears to be next. But the plan to vaccinate all of America rests heavily on shots that won't get approval until early next year. Vaccines from AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson could immunize up to 150 million Americans once approved. The U.S. has acquired enough doses from Pfizer and Moderna to vaccinate just 100 million people.
Meantime, questions remain about the shot from AstraZeneca and Oxford University. Trial results found the vaccine is safe and effective, but more analysis is needed to see how it works in people over 55. Older adults were recruited to the studies later than younger ones. That's making it harder to measure its effectiveness in that age group.
Meantime, in Europe, Brexit continues to take center stage. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has dinner today with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen as both sides try to save negotiations. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is covering the meeting in Brussels.
what this is about is giving the talks renewed momentum. It's about giving it renewed impetus. And of course, the briefing that will come out of this from Ursula von der Leyen to the European leaders tomorrow will be key. If she says something like Boris Johnson is serious about a deal, he really wants to get a deal, then you could argue the choreography towards a deal could get started and the European leaders would engage in a way that they believe they have something to work with.
If there's no Brexit deal by the end of the year, the UK faces a number of disruptions, including tariffs on exports to the EU.
And when it comes to tariffs, the UK is dropping levies on US goods tied to a dispute between Boeing and Airbus. Britain will drop tariffs imposed by the European Union on $4 billion of American products. The UK says it will set its own tariff policy when it completes the split from the EU at the end of the month.
Turning to corporate news now, it's a big day for IPOs. Food delivery startup DoorDash has priced its offering at $102 per share. Here with more is Ed Ludlow from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The price is above the $90 to $95 range DoorDash marketed to investors and values the company at a potential $38 billion on a fully diluted basis. The platform's benefited from COVID-19, forcing restaurants to adopt takeout or delivery formats, bumping up the number of commissions DoorDash collects. It also follows fellow San Francisco startup Airbnb, who also boosted the range of its IPO to between $56 and $60 a piece, giving it a potential valuation of $42 billion when it prices after the bell. And it helps put this December on track to be the busiest year-end for U.S. IPOs ever. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to banks now, looks like J.P. Morgan wants to make a deal. CEO Jamie Dimon says the firm is looking for an acquisition.
My line is open. It's a scale business. It's a distribution business. It's a brand business. You know, it's got to make sense. It might be software. It might be fintech. We have lots of investments in some fintech companies we partner with. It might be something overseas, but yeah, we're open-minded. We got brilliant ideas. Give me a call.
Dimon made the pitch at the Goldman Sachs Financial Services Conference. The comments come in a year where Morgan Stanley closed its takeover of E-Trade and announced the purchase of Eaton Vance.
And a programming note, tune in today for an exclusive interview with the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Jay Clayton sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time. S&P futures are up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures down 3. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 0.93%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the first batch of the COVID-19 vaccine will be in New York City next week, as long as the federal government signs off on it.
We are 10 months into this crisis, but for the first time, we really can see the end in sight.
The first to get the vaccine here in the U.S. will be nursing home residents and healthcare workers. De Blasio earlier said the city was expecting almost 500,000 doses in the first month from Pfizer and also Moderna. Newark, New Jersey's railroad station will get $190 million in improvements over 5 years. Restrooms, lighting, air handling, painting, and exterior cleaning are first on the list. The busy 90-year-old station serves 50,000 passengers a day. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a request by Republican allies of President Trump to nullify Joe Biden's win in Pennsylvania. The rebuff came without explanation and with no noted dissents. The newest justice, Trump appointee Amy Coney Barrett, took part in the court's consideration of the case. Before the ruling, President Trump pushed his long shot bid during a press briefing.
If somebody has the courage, I know who the next administration will be. And I'll tell you what, life will be much easier for this country because of what we've done.
Republicans on Capitol Hill are still refusing to accept Joe Biden's victory. All three Republicans on the Congressional Committee planning next month's inauguration, Senate Majority Leader McConnell, Senator Roy Blunt, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, voted against a measure acknowledging Biden's win as president. Meanwhile, Georgia's Republican Lieutenant Governor says the country needs to be focused on separating fact from fiction when it comes to the presidential election. Jeff Duncan says the GOP not accepting the facts will have consequences in future elections.
Long term, I'm really concerned that this hurts the brand. And we'll get there. We'll have plenty of time to kind of digest and learn from some things that we did really well the last 4 years and certainly some things that we can do better.
Duncan says it's hard to go down this road of just believing mountains of misinformation. Idaho public health officials abruptly ended a meeting after Boise's mayor and chief of police set intense protests outside the health department building as well as outside some health officials' homes were threatening public safety. The board had been expected to vote on a four-county mask mandate. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Tuesday Night Football in Baltimore. Much-needed win for the Ravens, who were an NFL best 14-2 last season, came in last night just 6-5, but the Ravens beat Dallas 34-17 as Lamar Jackson played like he did a year ago when he was NFL MVP. Jackson threw for two touchdowns at a 37-yard TD run he had missed last week's game after testing positive. Ravens stay in the hunt for an AFC wildcard. The Cowboys are 3-9. The Eagles are 3-8-1, and they've made a quarterback change. Carson Wentz, who leads the NFL with 15 interceptions thrown, goes to the bench, replaced by rookie Jalen Hurts. It'll be the first time in Wentz's five-year career that he will be a healthy backup. The Associated Press reports the NHL is looking to open training camps the first of the year, have a 50-60 game season begin January 17th. The NHL is considering having its seven Canadian teams only play each other. College basketball, seven games between the ACC and the Big Ten, and the Big Ten won six of them. Losses for Duke and North Carolina. Rutgers beat Syracuse 79-69. Ron Harper Jr. hit 5 three-pointers, scored 26 for the Scarlet Knights, who are now 4-0. St. John's is 5-1. It was not easy against Ryder. Red Storm trailed at the half, pulled it out 82-79. Seton Hall blew out Wagner 78-45. College football has been a mess all season. 118 games have been canceled or postponed due to COVID, including now Michigan versus Ohio State. They will not play each other for the first time since 1918. Indiana and Purdue have gone over 100 years playing annually, and their game Saturday may have to be scrapped. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. In other news, masks are in, jackets necessarily for NBA coaches. The new league mandate, detailed in a memo sent over the weekend, requires business attire, dress shirts, pants, socks, shoes. No mention of sport coats or ties. What would Pat Riley say? This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are climbing toward another record high as hopes for a U.S. stimulus deal overshadow fears about resurgent coronavirus cases. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points, Dow futures up 81, NASDAQ futures down 5. The DAX in Germany is up 1%, 10-year Treasury down 7/32nd, yield 0.94%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 12 cents at $45.73 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $10.20 at $18.64.70 an ounce. The euro 1.2125 against the dollar, British pound 1.3458, and the yen 104. 4.13. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. Supreme Court has turned down an 11th-hour attempt to overturn Pennsylvania's election results. In a single, succinct sentence, Justice Alito denied the attempt to block Pennsylvania's slate of certified electors and toss out 2.5 million mail-in ballots. The case was brought by Republican Congressman Mike Kelly, who alleged the state legislature did not legally pass the law that expanded mail-in voting during the pandemic. Meanwhile, Texas is now suing four other states, hoping to block their votes in the Electoral College. A recent survey by the Washington Post finds about 88% of Republicans in Congress, or 220 lawmakers, would not say who won the presidential election. That includes the two GOP senators in Georgia facing a runoff election next month. In the NFL, the Ravens doubled up the Cowboys Tuesday night, 34-17. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get to the latest on the coronavirus now, with the first vaccine approvals potentially coming in the U.S. as soon as tomorrow, as the shots roll out in the U.K. and the pandemic in this country continues to set records. Andy Pekosch joins us once again, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosch, I know we're only a day into the Pfizer rollout in the UK, but from your perspective, how would you say it's been going in the early hours?
Well, you know, everything's going away. It's been expected. Public health officials have had time to come together with their plans on how to distribute the vaccine, how to maintain those cold chains that we've heard about, particularly with the Pfizer vaccine, and how to line up their priority groups. So everything seems to be going well. This is, you know, turning into a logistic issue, and we'll see how supply chains of the vaccine go and how well we get people coming back for their second booster dose and all sorts of little things along the way that we can't predict that may put some kinks into the process.
Well, how do you see some of these states' plans going? I know that in your home state of Maryland, they've come up with a pretty detailed plan. Do you think that those logistical concerns can be ironed out based on what states have been saying so far?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we have experience, we as a public health community, have experience in mass vaccination campaigns. There are a number of things in place, including electronic medical records, vaccination websites that keep track of people who are vaccinated, and supply chains of vaccines. And all of those things just have to be brought to bear on this problem. I'm not saying it's an insignificant problem, because it certainly is a massive vaccination campaign that's just starting to roll out right now. But all the pieces are there. It's really a matter of now implementation.
What about the timelines that we're hearing, not just from President Trump, but from President-elect Joe Biden, who came out yesterday and said he wants to see 100 million Americans vaccinated in his first 100 days in office? Is that a realistic timetable?
Yeah, I think when it comes to things like these kind of vaccine rollouts, it's best to keep your eye on the short term, because unforeseen problems in terms of vaccine production, which we've already seen some of that with Pfizer, with them pulling back on the amount of doses that they think will be available in the short term. Everything has to be flexible. We have to be able to adjust to a potential change in the flow of vaccines, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to deviate from that known vaccination schedule of get your initial shot, get your booster either 21 or 28 days after that, depending on which vaccine you have. We want to make sure to keep that optimal, because we know that's the optimal vaccination schedule to give you the most protection.
A lot of this, of course, is going to depend on a portfolio of vaccines, not just from the expected approval of Pfizer's shot later on this week, but AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, those aren't even going to be eligible for review until early next year. How could that potentially complicate this massive vaccination effort?
Well, you know, on the positive side, each new vaccine manufacturer that comes on board with an effective vaccine will increase the number of vaccine doses available, and therefore increase the number of people that can be vaccinated almost immediately. Everybody is making these vaccines ahead of time with the idea that they will be able to roll them out as soon as they get approval, because all of the data so far with all the vaccine candidates are good for safety and good for efficacy. This again gets back to the logistics and using the web-based vaccination records or your medical records to keep track of which vaccine you got, and therefore you know when you go back to your booster shot which vaccine you're supposed to be getting at that point in time. Again, it's a logistic issue that will need to be sort of tweaked and oiled as it comes out, because it really is something that is being rolled out at a massive level and as fast as possible.
All right, so only about 30 seconds left here. Do you see any reason why the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines would not get emergency approval this month?
no, FDA released the data that they were looking, that they're analyzing for Pfizer. It looks fantastic. I expect the Moderna data to look exactly the same. So I fully expect that by the end of December, we'll have two vaccines being rolled out and those vaccination campaigns beginning to steamroll into effect.
All right. Well, it'll be welcome news for just about everyone in this country. Andy Petkos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, which is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Right now, S&P futures up by almost 7 points. Dow futures higher by 81 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 5 points. 10-year Treasury yield 93 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. Add some thrill to your wish list during the season of Audi sales event at your Tri-State Audi dealer.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed this morning after another record day on Wall Street. There's fresh optimism that lawmakers could pass a new stimulus deal. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, Steven Mnuchin is re-entering COVID relief talks, offering $916 billion package to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The proposal adds a $600 direct payment to most Americans and opens a potential path to a year-end deal. Well, the Treasury Secretary's plan is supported by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Republican Leader Kevin McCarthy, who calls it a great offer. Democratic leaders call it progress. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. And when it comes to fighting the pandemic, the U.S. could approve Pfizer's vaccine as soon as this week.
If authorized, tens of millions of vaccine doses will be available this month, and we'll get it distributed very quickly. We have that all set.
President Trump says he may use executive powers to acquire enough shots. Meantime, President-elect Joe Biden is promising 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days in office.
I'm absolutely convinced that in 100 days we can change the course of the disease and change life in America for the better.
Biden says getting vaccines to all Americans will be costly. He's calling on Congress to designate money for the effort.
In Europe, Brexit talks continue to take center stage. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has dinner tonight with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen as both sides try to save negotiations. As time runs out, Johnson suggests he could walk away without a deal.
There are just limits beyond which, obviously, no sensible independent government or country could go, and people have got to understand that.
If there's no Brexit deal by the end of the year, the UK faces a number of disruptions, including tariffs on exports to the EU.
And in corporate news, shares of DoorDash begin trading today. The food delivery service raised almost $3.4 billion in its IPO, giving it a valuation around $38 billion. Shares of Airbnb priced tonight. They're set to start trading tomorrow.
And S&P futures are higher, up 7 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 0.93%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 14 cents at $45.74 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down about 0.6%. Down $11.50 at $1,863.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.2120 against the dollar. The yen, 104.13. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover. Above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will get the first batch of the COVID-19 vaccine soon. De Blasio, during his daily briefing, says 10 months into the crisis, for the first time, we can really see the end in sight.
the vaccine is coming next week. The vaccine will be here in New York City because vaccine is being produced in huge quantities for this city and for this whole country.
De Blasio says, although this is the final phase in the war against the coronavirus, we have to get through this month through February. Nursing home residents and healthcare workers will be the first to get the vaccines. Fewer New York City drivers passed over toll bridges recently as the pandemic worsened. According to data from the MTA, traffic on the RFK Bridge, for example, was down a combined 4.6% during the first work week after the Thanksgiving holiday. Newark, New Jersey's railroad station will get $190 million in improvements over 5 years. The makeover will include improvements in restrooms, lighting, air handling, and a new paint job. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a request by Republican allies of Donald Trump to nullify Joe Biden's win in Pennsylvania. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
In the ruling, the court said it was too late and was advocating the extraordinary proposition that the court disenfranchise all 6.9 million voters and throw it to the state legislature. No vote tally was announced publicly, so recorded as without dissent, and reflected that Justice Amy Coney Barrett had participated. The president has called on any one justice or group of justices to show courage and stop the Electoral College. This rejection today would seem to make that more problematic. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
One of President Trump's lawyers, Jenna Ellis, is said to have COVID-19. Ellis attended one of the 10 holiday parties at the White House. Meanwhile, President Trump was asked why he would allow holiday parties during the coronavirus pandemic and not mandate masks.
Well, they're Christmas parties, and frankly, we've reduced the number very substantially, as you know. And I see a lot of people at the parties wearing masks.
Ellis sat next to another Trump lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who also has COVID. Former U.S. Housing Secretary Sean Donovan has announced his candidacy for mayor of New York City, joining a crowded June 2021 Democratic primary. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshire with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Baltimore Ravens season had been spiraling. Three straight losses, 21 positive COVID tests. Their game last week had to be postponed three times before they lost on a Wednesday afternoon. Back for a Tuesday night home game. Fortunately for them, the Cowboys are in worse shape. Baltimore beat Dallas 34-17. Lamar Jackson had one of those positive tests. He returned, threw for two touchdowns, had a 37-yard TD run. It was supposed to be Dez Bryant facing his former team. Bryant, who recently began playing for the Ravens after 3 years out of the league, was on the field in pregame warmups when he learned his most recent COVID test was positive. Quarterback change in Philadelphia, where Carson Wentz has struggled, goes to the bench, replaced by rookie Jalen Hurts. Wentz is owed $35 million next year. If they release him, it's a $59 million hit on the salary cap. Michigan and Ohio State, perhaps college football's greatest rivalry, although this year's game figured to be a blowout. Michigan is 2-4. Buckeyes were favored by 30. The game's been canceled. Positive tests on the Wolverines. The Big Ten had said a team must play six games to be allowed to play in the conference championship game. Ohio State's only played five. They may change the rule or try to find a different opponent to play. College basketball, St. John's avoided an upset, got by Rider, 82-79. Seton Hall beat Wagner by 33. Rutgers ranked in the preseason top 25 for the first time since 1978 and now 4-0 after beating Syracuse 79-69. The White Sox have signed free agent outfielder Adam Eaton. They had just traded for starting pitcher Lance Lynn. And Kansas City signed free agent first baseman Carlos Santana, who had been with Cleveland. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Dune at Home turns theaters into a wasteland. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Warner Brothers and HBO Max, two units of AT&T, just delivered a crushing blow to movie theaters. All of the studio's films next year, including The Suicide Squad, Dune, and The Matrix 4, will go straight to the HBO Max streaming service at the same time that they're released in cinemas. They'll be available to the app subscribers for 1 month for no extra charge. While Warner Brothers called it a unique one-year plan, it's hard to imagine the company reverting back to the old way. Even with COVID-19 vaccines, it could be a while before consumers feel safe returning to theaters. In the latest morning consult poll, 50% of U.S. adults said it would be 4 to 6 months or even longer before they'd feel comfortable. And by the time most people do feel safe going, many still may not want to. Companies such as AT&T are responding as they must by going where audiences are, and now that's at home. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. As we mentioned earlier, shares of DoorDash do begin trading today. The food delivery service raised almost $3.4 billion in its offering. Up next, after the closing bell, another highly anticipated IPO prices. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Airbnb is aiming for a $42 billion valuation after boosting the price range of its IPO earlier this week. The San Francisco-based company will now offer its shares for $56 to $60 apiece versus a previous range of $44 to $50. That would increase the amount Airbnb is expected to raise to as much as $3.1 billion. Airbnb's IPO is part of a year-end rush of consumer-facing technology listings after their plans were deterred by market and economic volatility earlier in the year. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. On the economic front today, the Labor Department issues data on job openings for October. Economists predict a drop to 6.3 million, roughly 1 million fewer openings than before the pandemic struck. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
There are shortages of hospital workers pushing states to activate the National Guard, but places we'd rather visit, restaurants, bars, theaters, are cutting back, with an estimated 1 in 6 eateries closed based on restaurant industry data. Airlines, hotels, Amtrak, and transit agencies have made cuts, too. But online retailers are gaining, boosting logistics. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. The Supreme Court's poised to consider the fate of a lawsuit that could mean billions of dollars for shareholders of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and affect the push to end federal control of the mortgage giants. Justices will consider whether investors can challenge the 2012 agreements that let the government collect more than $300 billion in profits from Fannie and Freddie. A ruling in investors' favor would give them a chance to collect a massive settlement. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now and lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are climbing toward another record high as hopes for a U.S. stimulus deal overshadows fears about resurgent coronavirus cases. In fact, Russia's stock benchmark is set for its highest close on record. Futures are mixed. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 61. NASDAQ futures down 10. The DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 0.93%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2%. Or 8 cents at $45.68 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $17.10 at $18.57.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2111 against the dollar. British pound 1.3448 and the yen 104.14. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Trump administration is offering a $916 billion coronavirus relief package to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that adds a $600 direct payment to most Americans. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin made the offer to Pelosi last night. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he is willing to give up his long-sought-after liability protections that cover businesses from litigation during the pandemic. But in return, McConnell wants Democrats to give up federal funding for cash-strapped state and local governments. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says it is a big day for the country. Today, he welcomed the first shipment of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. In the U.S., the FDA is expected to give emergency approval to vaccines as early as tomorrow. In the NFL, the Ravens down the Cowboys. Tuesday Night Football, 34-17. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's just before 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include the House easily passing the defense policy bill despite a veto threat, the Supreme Court rejecting a bid to nullify President-elect Biden's win in Pennsylvania, and President Trump imposing sanctions at a record pace that Joe Biden is likely to maintain. Also making news, the White House back in stimulus talks and potentially boosting the chance for a deal. Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter has the latest for us. Give us some more details on this proposal from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, Kate.
Well, it sounds like this is the type of thing that puts the White House back front and center in terms of these negotiations that for the last, you know, several weeks have really been left up to the congressional leaders. And so what we heard from Mnuchin yesterday was this idea of a $916 billion proposal. And that certainly has kind of opened up the idea that there could be a path to a year-end deal that we haven't really seen open up thus far.
And very interesting, as we heard from Michael Barr in the news earlier, that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is willing to give up on liability protections in exchange for the Democrats pulling back on state and local government aid. At the same time, there sounds like there may be a bit of a disagreement when it comes to stimulus checks versus enhanced jobless benefits. What's going on there?
Absolutely. And so, as you said, that would be, you know, the trading reliability protections, not getting those and also not getting the aid to state and local governments is a big development if both sides are willing to accept that, because that have been deal breakers for either side. But then also now there's this new issue of direct payments, which we did see earlier this year, you know, stimulus checks going out to Americans. That is currently included in this proposal. Part of how that's paid for is by eliminating expanded unemployment benefits. And that's something that Democrats have been big advocates of, these expanded unemployment benefits. And so it's a little bit unclear whether that's something that Democrats would accept at this point or whether that's going to be an additional sticking point.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see how these negotiations shake out, as they have been for months, it seems now. Meantime, we did get some big movement from the House on the defense policy bill, something President Trump had been threatening to veto. But it sounds like many Republicans are saying, well, we're going to pass it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that, you know, this is an example of the type of thing, you know, we haven't seen any real significant rebellion from Republicans in Congress during Trump's administration. And, you know, during the waning days now, the final weeks, we could see that happening over this defense bill. The president had wanted it to include a provision stripping some protections for social media companies, and that's not included. He also wanted on the legislation not to include a provision that basically he wants to keep Confederate military base names that reference Confederate figures. And so those are kind of two sticking points for Trump that he's issued a veto threat over, but we're likely to see, you know, it passed, it passed the House by a veto-proof majority, and we'd be likely to see that majority maintained, because I think there are very few House members who want to vote against funding the Pentagon.
All right, let's turn to this first time that the Supreme Court has weighed in on President Trump's attempt to overturn the election results. And it seems like the justices have made pretty quick work of this case in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. And so this was, you know, this ruling from the Supreme Court, or this message from the Supreme Court, it was both symbolic and substantive. You know, they dismissed the, you know, they opted not to hear the case, and also did it, you know, in a way that was very, very concise and terse, and I think kind of sends the message that potentially, you know, the Supreme Court, which is what the Trump campaign has been all along kind of hanging its hopes on, that the Supreme Court would come in and intervene and, you know, make some kind of a ruling that would change the election results. I think the symbolic message out of that ruling from Pennsylvania yesterday is that that's unlikely to happen.
Finally, in terms of how policy could go for President-elect Biden, he's promised a top-to-bottom review of sanctions use by the Trump administration. How is that likely to shake out?
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind, you know, when you hear a top-to-bottom review, you often think, okay, this could be a significant shift in the way the U.S. approaches China, in particular, other countries as well, like Russia and Iran. And I think the key thing to keep in mind, though, is that, you know, the experts are saying that even though the Biden administration will conduct this, you know, thorough review, that it's unlikely to change course, particularly in the short term. And I think that really underscores the degree to which, you know, economic sanctions have become a key tool in how the U.S. executes its foreign policy. And that's unlikely to shift just because the occupant of the White House is changing.
All right. Thank you, as always, Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked one of the top three universities in New Jersey and 74th in the nation by QS World University Rankings. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. New results on a possible COVID-19 vaccine from Oxford University and AstraZeneca suggest it is safe and about 70% effective, but questions remain about how well it may help protect those over 55. Still, experts say the vaccine seems likely to be approved despite some confusion in the results and lower levels of protection than what some other vaccine candidates have shown. Google and Facebook would risk multi-million-dollar fines if they fail to comply with the proposed legislation introduced in the Australian Parliament that would make the tech giants pay for journalism they display. Australia is on track to become the first country to force the digital platforms to compensate news media for journalistic content. Breaches of the code, such as failure to negotiate in good faith, would be punishable by a fine of $7.4 million. And Apple's new $550 AirPods Max over-the-ear headphones will not arrive in time for the holidays for many customers. On its website, Apple quoted wait times of 12 to 14 weeks for online orders. That's one of the longest shipping delays for a new Apple product in recent history. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York City restaurant owners should expect more COVID restrictions in a matter of days. It could be the death knell for a lot of establishments. Small businessman Robert Mahin is owner of Broadstone Bar and Kitchen and Toro Loco in Lower Manhattan, and he joins us this morning. Rob, so far you've been navigating the restrictions. Where do things stand right now?
Instead of guidance and advising us and trying to help us get through this, they're now just looking to pretty much extort money out of us via violations. Since we're playing by the rules, we're fine, but I know a lot of neighboring bars that have paid significant fines for very minor offenses.
How do you navigate all this?
A lot of patience is probably the only word to describe it. And like myself and other bar and restaurant owners, we are near a breaking point. We've had to make a lot of tough decisions, laying off a lot of key people. It's just very sad in terms of the lack of support we have now for our industry. Don't get me wrong, the PPP worked, but that was only designed for a 2.5 month, 8 week shutdown.
Mayor de Blasio said New York City restaurant owners should expect more restrictions in a matter of days. His words, your reaction to that?
I'm preparing to have my indoor dining taken away. We're going to be operating at probably now 5% of normal revenues. I'm going to have to lay off more staff. I'm going to take it on a week-by-week basis if I'm going to keep the doors open or just shut down temporarily for a couple of weeks.
All right, Rob, thanks. Robert Mahin, owner of Broadstone Bar and Toro Loco in Lower Manhattan. Best of luck, and we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Again, futures are mixed this morning. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures down 11, 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 0.93%. Yield on the two-year, 0.15%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.